welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 26, DC's New 52, number 4, part 2. And that's a mouthful. I am Chris Mosby, and I am rooting for the Boston Bullweevils.
All right.
That's right. Today is the day of the big game, the National Basket Weaving Tournament, the Tallahassee Muskrats versus the Boston Bullweevils. Quite a big rivalry between me and my sister, so that'll be should be interesting today. Anyway, that's me. So continue.
I'm Caleb Girard, and I have nothing prepared. Sorry, I came underprepared for today's gathering.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
I'm still recovering from the pre-show conversation. Sorry.
Alrighty, I'm Murray Fox, and that's it, man.
Wow, I really got you guys. Okay, go ahead. Oh, and also we have from an undisclosed location who joined us last week, Brian Nixon.
And I am Brian Nixon, and I am cheering for good commercials.
There you go.
Hey, Brian, do me a favor. Can you say a prayer for me while you're down there?
Oh, you smart ass.
Okay.
And everyone out there is going, what the?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of these days I'll post the pre-shows.
I have a feeling we were recording, but
yeah, we are recording. That's why one day I will do that. That'll be funny. Anyway,
we said we were recording. Crap.
Yeah. Anyway, lots of big stuff this week. Can we jump into it? We got a lot of news. Before we get into the number fours, let's get into a whole bunch of news. I'm going to save the really big stuff for last. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, here it is. First up, the Liefeld lineup, as it's called on DC Source Fly. They have announced the creative teams for Deathstroke, Grifter, and the Savage Hawkman. And it says here, we recently announced the writer/artist Rob Liefeld will be bringing his quote-unquote distinctive sensibilities to Deathstroke. That's what it says. Grifter, the Deathstroke, Grifter, and the Savage Hawkman in DC Comics The New 52. And here's a look at the full creative teams for those series. On Grifter, Liefeld's stories will be scripted by Frank Thierry, whose previous DC Comics work includes JSA Classified, Gotham Underground, and Batman the Outsiders. Scott Clark will remain the ongoing series artist. Scripter Mark Poulton, that's it, will support Liefeld's quote-unquote vision on the Savage Hawkman. Poulton's notable recent work includes a reboot of Liefeld's Evangeline for Image Comics. Hawkman will be illustrated by Joe Bennett, whose prior DC Comics work includes Teen Titans, Hawkman, and Justice League Generation Lost. Anyway. And on Deathstroke, Liefeld will shoulder both writing and illustration duties, kicking off a new storyline with Battle Royale between the mercenary against intergalactic bounty hunter Lobo. Liefeld and the new creative teams join these three series beginning the 9th issues in May. Check out the covers for all – well, you know, you can't do that over radio, but if you went to their site, there's pictures there. Anyway.
And that is one lame-looking Hawkman.
Yeah, well, you know. Oh, and I do notice that Grifter's got those things sticking out of his back kind of like Deathstroke does, and it looks like maybe swords, but I think it's just like some kind of mini wings on Deathstroke with, of course, shoulder pads. And, yeah.
Looks like one of them's a sword. I don't know what the other one is on Grifter.
Yeah. And then Hawkman is
lame. Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah. It's kind of weird looking.
And that's coming from the guy who said he normally doesn't mind Liefeld's art.
That's lame. My biggest disappointment is that we're going to get Lobo back drawn by Liefeld. I'm sorry. I love that character, and I'm just disappointed that this is who we're going to get bringing him back. So.
Yeah, he does have distinctive sensibilities, I hear.
Distinctive, yes.
What's the over-under on these three all lasting the next DC or the next new wave?
Well, that is a question that someone has brought up on our Facebook page that, you know, let's just let Liefeld do whatever the hell he wants until we get three more books ready. So we shall see how that goes. All right. There's that. And next up, artist Marcus Toe will be joining Batwing with issue number 9. Which,
really?
Yes, he will be doing. He does some good work.
Yes,
he is.
What was he just? What did he? Huntress. Oh, he was in the Huntress. That's right. He did the Huntress miniseries. So yeah, that'll be good. Which I like that book anyway. So.
Is he doing? Hmm? What's happening to the regular artist on Batwing? Or are they?
Well, they're not mentioning him, so I imagine he's. He is gone. Because they've kind of had rotating, because they had that – I don't remember what that guy's name that you didn't like. And then they had – the last one I read, which I missed 6, which just came out. They had that crisscross guy, which was a little better. I don't know who was on the last one, but apparently he's going to be the regular series writer penciler with 9. And it's got a wonderful Court of Owls crossover, it looks like, here, as he's being attacked by one of the Talon. So that's some good news. I should help that book. And let's see. Next up, novelist Greg Hurwitz joins Batman the Dark Knight creative team. Now, you might not recognize that name, but I'm not going to read the whole thing here. But he's the one that was writing Penguin Pain and Prejudice, which is just about due to end here pretty soon. That kind of puts me in a dilemma because that guy wrote the hell out of that Penguin mini.
And that's a huge dilemma because that was definitely the book that I was never going to pick up. And now...
Yeah, yeah. I think Finch is still going to be doing art. And I think, wasn't Paul Jenkins helping him with that?
Yes, he was.
Dark Knight?
Yep.
Okay, so, well, there's more news on that. This is part of the musical chairs we were talking about, part of the episode. So anyway, this Hurwitz guy, which did a real good job on that, he's going into the Dark Knight. And then... I didn't want to go to that one yet. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So, then you got Peter Milligan going to Stormwatch, which he's leaving JL Dark, Justice League Dark, and then Jeff Lemire will be leaving Frankenstein to take over Justice League Dark. Anybody following this?
Yep.
Okay. Listeners, I know it's confusing. I might have to make a chart and post it later.
Just waiting for the music to stop so I know when to sit down.
So with Lemire on Justice League Dark, then you got Matt Kent. Kent, is that how you say it?
Yep.
He wrote the Robot Man story in My Greatest Adventure, which I really enjoyed. He's moving over to Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
Uh-huh.
Another musical chair. I think the artist is going to be the same. I didn't read all that. Blah, 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 blah.
I think so.
So he's starting with number 10. And Justice League, yeah. No, I don't want to get to that yet. Yeah, Justice League Dark is going to cross over with iVampire in 7 and 8. And then he will take over in number 9. Okay, there is that. Jeff Lemire takes on that. Got that out of the way. Matt Kent. And before we get to big DC news, one other thing. Mark Waid is going to be ending Irredeemable and Incorruptible, which is something that I've mentioned a couple of times on here. The final story arcs will be in Irredeemable number 34 and 37, which is, I think, coming up pretty soon here. I think number 34 just came out. And in Incorruptible number 27 and number 30, and he's doing other things. I think he's probably. I have a feeling he's going to be involved in more Marvel work. Just kind of got a gist of that from that article.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. I mean, it seems like mm-hmm. he is one of the big faces at Boom, so it'll be interesting to see if he takes on some more creator-owned stuff.
Yeah,
with them.
And he was the editor in chief. He stepped down from that a while back, and he also mentioned in the article that he'll be doing more stuff with digital, which is interesting considering Daredevil is still not on any kind of anything.
Still?
Yeah.
Really?
No, it isn't on anything. Now, he's got his Irredeemable Incorruptible comes out day and date on Comicology, but Daredevil. I mean, I've looked on the Marvel app.
You know what, though? I looked yesterday, and Daredevil number 8 is up.
Really?
You can buy Daredevil number 8.
Missed it.
Which is like part 2 of 2.
Oh, that's right. Probably why they put it up there. It's the second part of that Amazing Spider-Man thing.
Right.
You can't get 1 through 7, but you can get 8.
Yes.
And that's probably just because it ties into Spider-Man, I'm sure.
Brilliant!
Another big news, and this was from IGN, Aquaman outsells every Marvel comic in January. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to do a little victory dance. Anyway, according to this, the DC's books are in all top 10 spots in January 2012's top 10 bestsellers. With Aquaman being number 10, but you know, you got Justice League. Oh my God, Dark Knight was 6. Crap.
That's got to be just off the art.
Ah, must be. But a lot of the top 10 trades were DC books as well.
But did you see that? All 4 of the top 10 were Batman books.
Yes, this is true.
Whatever.
Yeah, Batman Robin was number 9, Flash 8, Superman 7, Green Lantern 5, Detective 4, Action 3, Action Comics number 5, Batman number 5, and Justice League number 5, number 1. So I think that's pretty cool.
I want to read when Brian Hibbs talks about that kind of stuff. That'll be interesting to hear or read his thoughts on that.
Okay. All right. Now here's the big one. The big one.
Hey, man. We promised this. We're going to keep this clean.
Yes. I'm talking about this news.
Dude. Oh, news. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway. I'm surprised the internet didn't crack in half. When this happened, but DC Entertainment has officially announced Before Watchmen. Okay, let everybody soak that in for just a second.
Before what?
Before Watchmen, man.
You're going to have to fill me in. I don't know what you're talking about. Never mind, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm sure everybody's, you know, knew that, but if, you know, you're not an avid follower of comic book news, then you might have missed it. DC has decided to make prequels – miniseries, which I'm confused. I think they all might be coming out weekly, one at the same time, or the other. I don't know how they're going to come out. I think there's a weekly component in there. But anyway, after 25 years, the Watchmen, this is a quote from their site here, "It's our responsibility as publishers to find new ways to keep all our characters relevant, says DC Entertainment co-publishers in Dan Dodo, Didio and Jim Lee. After 25 years, Watchmen are classic characters whose time has come for new stories to be told. We sought out the best writers and artists in the industry to build on the complex mythology of the original." So this is what you got. Your series are going to be Rorschach, 4 issues, with Brian Azzarello, and Lee Bermejo. Now, I'm loving what he does on Wonder Woman. See, I got mixed emotions about this, but I'll continue. We can talk about this after I get done here. Minutemen, writer-artist Darwin Cook, which they've got all the covers on their site, and the Darwin Cooks is awesome. That was 6 issues. Comedian, 6 issues. Another one by Brian Azzarello and artist J.G. Jones, which I'm having a feeling that's going to be late frequently, but considering his background, but anyway.
Well, maybe they've given him enough lead time that it's only 6 issues.
Yeah, I'm hoping these are already done, especially considering who's coming up in the next one. Dr. Manhattan, which is only 4 issues, with JMS, J. Michael Straczynski, with artist of Adam Hughes. Now, that's interesting. Night Owl, 4 issues, J. Michael Straczynski and artist Andy and Joe Kubert.
Joe Kubert. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And Osmedius with writer Len Wein and artist Jay Lee, that's an interesting pair. And that's 6 issues, 9 hours, 4. Silk Spectre, 4 issues, writer Darwin Cook and artist Amanda Connor.
They're killing me. They're absolutely killing me.
Yeah. Oh, okay, here it is.
They're pulling out all the stops on these. I mean, that's a good lineup of writers and artists.
Yeah, it's like they sat down and said, okay, you know what? We've got Liefeld. Let's go ahead and put him on a watch.
So I was right. I did think I read that. It says each week a new issue will be released. and will feature a two-page backup story, which that to me means at least $3.99. Backup story called Curse of the Crimson Corsair.
Hello.
Who's shaving?
You shredding your comics, man?
No shredding.
You quit? Okay, anyway.
wow.
Okay, the series. Okay, now here's a little tidbit. This is a two-page backup story called Curse of the Crimson Corsair, written by original series editor Len Wein, with art by original series colorist John Higgins. There will also be a single issue before Watchmen epilogue featuring the work of various writers and artists and a Crimson Corsair story by Len Wein.
Whoa. Everyone okay out there?
Yeah. That was the internet cracking in half.
Okay. Right.
You okay, Murray?
I'm good.
Did you fall down the stairs?
No, I'm not moving this week.
Okay, you can step on the dog or anything?
No.
Okay. But yeah, so that's kind of big news. Now, of course, everybody and their brother commented on it. They asked, you know, Newsarama comic book resource, I think it was Newsarama, asked about, you know, hey, picked some guys and said, hey, what do you think about this? And I didn't even read it because, you know, it doesn't matter. Now, reading this again, at first I was like, okay, I'm not buying any of this. I'll wait till it's, you know, collected, especially since you got J. Michael Straczynski writing two of them, and I hope they're done. His track record was staying with he couldn't do a monthly. A weekly scares the crap out of me. But anyway, that's what they're planning on doing, a weekly series, which I have to admit, when it's good, I liked.
Well, they don't talk about when, what, which issues are coming out when, and they also don't, I don't, does it really say in there that there's one issue per week? Because if that's the case, doing the math, that's 8 frickin' months that this is going to take. And that's, I don't know if they can hold our short-term attention spans for 8 months.
Well, yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see. But yeah, it says each week a new issue will be released.
Okay. No.
So, yeah.
I wonder if that means they're all going to be almost on a bi-monthly schedule then, because if you got, you know, one week for Rorschach, and then the next week you got the first issue of Minuteman, then the next week you got the first issue of Comedian, and something like that, that would leave a lot of time for these slower artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be something like what they did with Seven Soldiers, right? Like they did.
Yeah.
That was a weekly event, but it was a different. Well, I don't even think that was weekly, though. That was every other week. But even still, I mean, if they followed that sort of format.
Yeah, that's not what. That makes more sense than what I was thinking, that they would do, like, you know, 4 issues of Rorschach one at a time, and then, you know, but having each one of those come out a week, each week. That's a definitely different. I mean, I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
They're going to mix it up. They're not going to do all the Rorschach and all the Night Owl or something.
Yeah.
They're going to just like Murray, I think is what you said, that like Seven Soldiers. They're going to, you know, cross them over a little bit. There'll probably be crossover moments and stuff. It's a big shared universe.
Yeah. Now the one like I said, on the Facebook page, I probably wasn't going to get these till they're traded, but it's kind of – there's no reason really for me to do that. I mean, I wouldn't even read the Comedian one if it wasn't for Azzarello. I love what he's doing on Wonder Woman. And then you got the Minuteman. If you want to be quote-unquote true to the Watchmen thing, they barely scratched the surface of the Minuteman, so there's like – I think there would be more things that they could do that wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. But I don't know. There's a lot of different viewpoints on this.
Well, and Cook's artwork for the Minutemen is perfect.
Yeah.
He's got that retro look to him. And...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sitting here staring at my copies of New Frontier up on my bookshelf there. It's like, yep, there you go.
Yeah. Well, like
exactly.
I said, they've got the covers on here.
Oh my God! And that the Adam Hughes cover for Dr. Manhattan. Oh my God, gorgeous, freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like, you know, and I love the Rorschach character, and But Brian has a real – that one's going to be pretty raw, I would imagine. He's doing the Rorschach one too, so I'm sure there's going to be lots of, you know, butt kicking in that one. Yeah, those all look good. I'm in. I mean, who am I kidding? That's going to be good stuff. That really is. All righty. Well, there is the news. I'm sure, you know, that's still got the internet of Twitter, I think. But yeah. Oh, and Newsarama even has the 10 biggest before Watchmen surprises, which they seem to be doing a lot of top 10 lists on there. I wonder if they got David Letterman's writers. Okay, now I got all that covered. Anyway,
can I bring up one piece of news? And I brought it up on Facebook, and DC did something huge this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge. They did digital first this week with Justice right. League Beyond.
What?
Yes.
Which I think
I just read that this morning after you said that it was good. I liked it.
It was very good. It was very good. 99 cents. It's not as many. I mean, if you were to lay it out page to page, I don't think it's as many pages as a regular comic, but it's a very full story. But again, I think the bigger piece of the news is it was digital first. They put it out there for sale digital, and then they're going to collect it along with Batman Beyond, Superman Beyond, I think.
Yeah.
As a comic, as a printed comic.
Yeah.
But
I already have that pre-ordered.
Well, and did you say it was 99 cents?
Yes.
I did.
I mean, that's a big story right there too. Mm-hmm. At that price point, I wouldn't mind a few less pages than, you know.
Yeah,
give me 18 pages versus 24 pages, and let me pay 99 cents versus $3.99. Hey, I'll take that any day of the week.
And it's worth it. I honestly, it was a really good issue. I like those characters. I've always, you know, I when they introduced them in the Batman Beyond cartoon. And by the way, it features Green Lantern, Warhawk, Barda, and the Terry McGinnis Batman fighting the Jokers with a Z, and the Kingdom, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. Is that an existing from the Batman universe, Batman Beyond universe?
They didn't call themselves that, but all those characters, you know, I have all three seasons on DVD, and I've watched it a gajillion times. So yeah, that bunch were the first ones that were spliced with animal DNA.
Right.
They didn't have a name then, but those were all that doctor that they mentioned at the beginning of it, his minions. So.
Well, and so it looks like it might have ties to the regular DC. But honestly, Brian, if you get, you know, if you've got a spare dollar sitting around somewhere, go to Comicology, buy it. It's mm-hmm. well worth it, and it's. I think it's the interesting experiment of the month.
I will have it before day's end.
But I will mention that's not the first time they've done that, though. They're also doing it with a series called Beyond the Fringe. It's actually written by I don't remember the actor's name. The guy that plays Peter.
Yeah, Joshua Jackson doing
yeah,
that.
He, yeah, he's written a couple of those issues, and they're 99 cents. And they did one Batman Arkham Unleashed that had to and Batman Arkham City. They've done that before, but this is actual, you know, comic book superhero content, so it is different. So yeah.
So anyway, not to take away from the Watchmen story, which is, you know, that's internet breaking, but this kind of just sort of snuck in there. I know they've been talking about it, and it's not new news, but it finally happened, and so.
Well, the last they said anything about it was on November 14th, 2011. And they didn't even say anything about it on the DC blog, and I missed it. I don't, like, look at the Comicology every day, but until Caleb mentioned it on Facebook. So, and I've been waiting for that because I love that Batman Beyond stuff.
Enjoy.
Yes, it was. I read it this morning. It was really good.
It's cool. It's a way to do it, right? Like, it's a way to put their stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
In another format, and I hope they continue with, like, it's neat that it's separate from the DCU, and that it's a book that's not in the DCU right now. Like, it would be neat for them to continue to put other characters in some sort of webcomic digital format, and then later collect it. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is still considered one of the alternate Earths, isn't it? One of the 52?
That is up in the air, because when they brought that Batman Beyond comic back as a regular series, they had brought it in as an actual future of the regular timeline. But with the 52 universe thing going on, I would imagine it's separate.
Yeah, they don't have to they don't have to commit as far as I'm fine. Yeah. So anyhow, that's the only individual thing I wanted to address. So
yeah, that's really good. And they got the guys that wrote the Batman Beyond series, Adam Beechin and Norm Breyfogle, and you got Dustin Nguyen and Derek Fred Else doing a Justice League Beyond. So they'll have a Superman one too, I think. I don't know.
And when was the last time you heard Breyfogle's name on anything?
Yeah.
He did that. He did one of those flashback issues they did for, what was it? Mm-hmm. What were those called? They did the Batman in the 60s, 70s,
yeah,
and 80s.
Yeah, so. That's right.
That's the last time I heard him. So.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's because he's been busy on Life with Archie.
Ah.
He was on that for like a year.
Really?
Totally.
Wow.
Wow. That'd
be interesting.
Hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, look at this. They've got a Flashpoint sale going on at Comixology.
Yeah, there was a couple of series I didn't get to finish, and I was wanting to maybe pick those up later.
Comixology to load right.
Uh-oh.
Go complain to the hotel manager.
Yep.
Seriously, that's probably what it is, I'm sure.
They're probably blocking it. It's probably too controversial or something.
No, I can read my comics. I can't access the sale that I know what's going on.
All right. Well, okay.
They think you're going to buy Catwoman or Red
Voodoo.
Hood.
Voodoo.
Right.
Yeah.
I sense that is mocking, but I actually read one of those.
That's okay. I read the other two.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, then. We'll just let that go.
I'm reading 2 out of 3.
All right. Let's get on with it. Go to the week of 12/21, 2011.
No, 12/14. Right?
Oh, we did that last week.
Oh, you're right. Last 2 weeks. My
last
bad.
2 weeks, yeah. No, no problem.
Keep on. Right.
5 weeks.
Just a calendar, man.
First one up, Batman number 4. Wow.
Oh, such a good book.
Awesome. Go buy it. We'll wait. All right, we're back. Yeah, this is great stuff.
It does not compare. It's like apples and oranges with issue number 5, but it's still, we're only talking about issue number 4 here. This is awesome stuff, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the buildings in Gotham City.
Oh, before you say that.
Spoilers.
Now, this was almost 2 months ago, but still, spoilers, just in case you haven't read it. But
a preemptive spoiler alert for every single book. So anybody wants to complain.
He brought up a valid point. So
that's a good. No, I kid because you know he's far away.
Yeah.
I think though he didn't actually say it. He could be right here in Phoenix, and I wouldn't know.
I said an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Anyway. Man.
Speaking of undisclosed locations, the idea of all of those hidden closed bases for the court of owls. Terrific.
Yeah, it's great. Some good interaction with him and Dick Grayson too. I like that, seeing him show up every once in a while.
This is the Batman book. He's a detective. He's a superhero. He's a he's a millionaire playboy or billionaire playboy. Excuse me. It's Gotham City at its best. We've said it before in the other three issues. And something tells me we'll keep saying it for as long as Snyder's doing the writing on this thing.
Yeah, it is definitely top notch. Yeah, And oh yeah, can't say enough good things about that book. Okay.
Made me a Batman fan for about the first time in my comic collecting history.
Really?
Yeah, I've always liked him, but just never been a big fan of his like of his solo stuff. It's yeah. not that I don't, you know, it's just never was no, pulled in. But man, this.
I got hooked back when the whole Batman. I mean, I was kind of always I'd read little issue here and there, but I got where I was getting everything when the whole Bane and Backbrook thing came up. That's when I really got hooked.
Yeah, the last time I was reading Batman regularly was Batman the Outsiders, or when Alan Davis was drawing Detective. I mean, it's, that's uh-huh. like the last time I was really
wow. Man, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next up. Oh, yeah, that Batman Incorporated Leviathan Strikes. That cleared up stuff from the previous pre-New 52 universe, the Batman Inc. I'd actually missed that when it came out. I didn't have to track it. I tracked it down on my birthday, as a matter of fact, up in Memphis. And, of course, I bought it for $8, and then probably 2 days later it came up on Comicology for $4.99. So I was real happy about that. But it was good. You probably, if you never read the Batman Inc., it would have been very confusing. And even I read all those issues, and it was a little, but it was good. It kind of a surprise at the end. I won't get into that too much because, you know, Batman Inc.'s coming back. So, next up on the list, we have Birds of Prey. And I have to admit, I like this book, but it's starting to get a little confusing. Anybody else reading this?
Nope.
I am not.
I am, but I don't read it. Just like with you on Static Shock, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's in my pile, and I don't.
I have to admit, like number five, when I read it, it was just. Well, they kind of, I don't know. It was really weird how they ended this one and the next one. It was just like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure where he's going with it. It's still good enough to keep me on it, though.
This is one of those books, and I said it about a couple others. This is going to read well as a trade because, yeah. I've said it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I've said it here. They need to have previously boxes in a lot of these books because if I picked up number four or number five of this book, I would not pick up number the next issue because mm-hmm. there's not enough to fill me in on what's gone on before. There's a presumption that I've read the previous issues, and mm-hmm. that's why Batman works and why this book is not going to be on my buy list for much longer.
Yeah. Well, I'm really against those myself because I think if you're a strong enough writer, you don't need those. And I know he is. It's just the story that he's telling is so intricate that in this book, I think it needs it too.
Yep. And I don't see any harm. I mean, they can do them. They don't have to do Bendis-style novelettes at the beginning yeah. of each issue. They can do a little, you know, a little box. I mean, Peter David does it every month in X-Factor. He writes, you know, he gets goofy, but he can, you know, he can summarize, you know, the last 16 years of X-Factor in five sentences, and you still know what happened last issue.
Well, yeah, but all the Marvel books do it, though. It's not like something he took upon himself to do.
No, but he does. I think he does it better than
the other
okay. Marvel writers do. So, yeah. Or maybe his editor or whatever. No, he does it himself, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, just
that's fine. I've always been felt that was like a crutch for a writer, but in this one, it needs it because it is confusing. Because I actually had to get when I read five, I had to get four out again because I was like, okay, what the hell's going on here? You know, so yeah. Let's see, Blue Beetle. Who's still reading it?
Reading it.
Reading it.
I am. I'm liking it.
I am too. Interesting turn of events.
Oh, the ending.
Yeah, that I wasn't expecting that.
No.
And then what happens in the next issue is even weirder. But yeah, that's a really good book. Tony Bedard's doing a good job. I don't think he has much editorial mandate in this. Because, we were talking about all those moving around of artists and creators and writers and stuff. That kind of shows you that some of these books, I think, we want a book about this. And we're going to switch around anybody we want to get it to work. That's kind of the message
I get. See, and I kind of took it as that they're committed to keeping them, getting them out on time. And if you can't get them out on time, we'll replace you.
Well, that's true, but...
Because nothing's been late yet. I mean, Justice League was 1 week late, but it still came in within the month. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you could look at it that way, too.
I think that plays into it, too. They definitely want to keep everything running on time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly a part of the factor, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, Blue Beetle's still a good book.
I'm enjoying it. Now, I'm worried that with the direction it's going, we may end up losing the kind of El Paso.
Yeah, I peeked at the
setting there.
This the last previews solicit for it, and that seems like it. And it's probably going a lot darker than the original one. Well, the previous incarnation of Jaime Reyes. It's already to that point. So, we shall see.
Even with it, though, they're still keeping it pretty... there's dark stuff happening, but it's... They're keeping the main character still kind of light and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, this is... Yeah, like, this is a dark... There are dark parts in the book, but it's still a fun read. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the books that are coming up are dark books, and they're not really as fun.
Yeah, yeah, that is a fun read.
Yeah, I am enjoying it, and yeah, I would hate to lose sort of some of that Southwest setting, but I mean, characters move on and then they come back, and
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's all it's a journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's very. I'm not sure how it's going to play out in it, but if he does leave, I'm sure he's doing it to keep his loved ones safe.
Right.
I can see him doing that.
Are they still focusing on keeping his family intact?
See, that I got the impression from the solicit that that he's leaving town completely.
Oh, well, that kind of takes away from one of the unique aspects of the book.
Yeah, but I mean, how long that's going to stay that way, who knows? So, I just kind of glanced at it,
Have they brought Nowhere into this book?
No.
No, and it's...
That's a good point.
Because he's a teen character, and the Nowhere group seems to be focused on all these teen characters, but for whatever reason, he seems to be out of their radar. Now, maybe that is because he's in the Southwest, and they're focusing on the...
Well, and he...
New York-based heroes, I don't know.
Well, in the last Teen Titans, when they were, fighting and everything... Superboy brought up a point about Red Robin. He doesn't have any power, so technically Nowhere has no beef with him. He could just walk away and be fine. And you would think this would be the thing, but it might be that they don't even know about this alien tech. So,
good point. There's plenty of – they've already given it the fact that there's plenty of alien-hating secret groups out there. So, mm-hmm. All right.
So it just depends on how you would categorize him, so –
Right.
But, with the Ravagers coming out, they've got plenty of books tied into that storyline, so.
Waiting for them.
Yes. Next up is Captain Atom number 4. And I bought it, and yeah, I'm done. it's an interesting concept what they're doing, and it's kind of odd to say that. This is the most like Dr. Manhattan that Captain Atom's ever been, considering Dr. Manhattan was basically based on Captain Atom. There's kind of a circular argument there. But anyway, he just whines a lot, which he's made out of energy, and you can't touch anybody, and that's bad. But, okay, 4 issues of that, I've heard enough.
he's got to meet Wildfire, and the two of them have to kind of
come. Yeah, something's going bad. But yeah, so this is dropping off my poll, so I'm probably the only one that's reading it. So
unless Brian kept
nope.
Adam, yeah, nope. That I you know, and this Kroll's writing was better, and I still wonder what those numbers are and all that good stuff, and yeah, okay, I'm done. All right, what do we got next? Ah, Catwoman. Catwoman. Number four.
All right.
There you
I
go.
Never thought I would be a Catwoman fan.
Okay. Preach it.
And I am loving the hell out of this book.
Okay.
And the reason why is the characterization of her. She's not the happy-go-lucky thief that sometimes has a heart of gold. She's messed up.
Yeah.
And they play her that way. She knows that she is.
Mm-hmm.
The way three ends and leads right into four, you know, something happened. I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to spoil too much, but
yeah, because
she's broken. A friend of mine and I talk about it all the time, and that's the word we always use for her. She's broken, and I like it that she's not just the thief with the heart of gold anymore. She's and the art is gorgeous.
Yeah, see, now I might have to check that out now that it's cheaper on Comicology. Maybe read number two and see what I think.
You know, is it the Frank Miller Selina Kyle, or is that, have they gone back to a different version?
I don't know. It's been too long, honestly, since I read Batman Year One.
Well, okay, from the number...
Former Hooker.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It seems like she is... She was... I think... No, she's... Has she been a hooker, or was she just always a thief?
Well, it seemed like in the first issue, they hinted around that at a young age, she was forced into it, and she saw that guy that had done that, and that's that guy she attacked in the first issue. So that's what I got out of it.
Okay, yeah, I remember the first issue.
Because she runs into a friend in issue four that she knew from back then. So yeah, okay. if you do read issue two, I'll warn you right up front that if issue one bothered you with her in Batman, issue two is going to really send you over the edge, because the last page of Catwoman number one was everybody's like, oh, I can't believe. Okay, the first page of number two, there's even less clothes on the two of them, and there is no doubt what's going on. But then it's over.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, like I said, that she's not the – like from Hush, you knew that there was some attraction between on an emotional level. This one, it's just sex, which sounds horrible, but that's what it is. That's what part of what makes her the way she is. She's just like, I just had sex with Batman again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just that's what it is with her. And
well, you know, to tell you the truth, the diehard fanboy, you know, old ways, old school guy doesn't like that, but it makes it more realistic, really.
Yeah. Right.
And all of those years of that play and, you know, hinting at it and all that other stuff. In real life, I mean, Batman is human, and they've already shown in Detective Comics he's sleeping around with this reporter. You know, he's not doing that old the fop thing like they used to do in the old days where he'd get out of it somehow. And then, you know, so there'd be the rumors about him, but nothing would ever really happen. Well, that's not the case. So, I mean, if they're doing it in there, then it makes perfect sense it's going to happen in Catwoman. So,
can I go off on a complete tangent here?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Just for a moment or five. The new DC Universe superheroes are pretty virginless. Just.
Oh yeah.
There has been a lot of implied sex going on throughout these books. Which, you know, given today's day and age, is a lot more realistic than the chaste superhero of old. But it seems to me, from my reading, the only two that don't that that seem to still haven't popped their cherries are Clark Kent and Wonder Woman. It seems like all the rest of them have had relations.
Right.
Flash.
I some reason I got the impression that he I don't know, and I'm reading between the lines. I completely admit it. But it's I get the impression that he's not a pure either. So
there's really nothing wrong with that.
No, it's not in our face. I will say it's not in our face, but it's just it seems to be there. And like I said, it was a moment tangent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but that's really, I mean, the comics have always grown in their content with the, you know, over the years. And, you know, I know people on our Facebook page say all the time, they're not for kids. Well, they haven't been for kids for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And
now they're even more for adults than they have been.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for this characterization.
You know, because when I first read that, I admit I was shocked by it, and I didn't like it. And that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't buy anymore. Because, you know, being a Batman fan and the whole bit, but like I said, it's more realistic. So, yeah. Okay. And I'll probably have to look at Catwoman number 2 just for the heck of it.
Look at 2 and 3, because it gets past, like I said, it starts out with that, but then it gets beyond it. I think they're just setting up, hey, this is what she is. Yes, she's got this relationship with Bruce, or with Batman, not with Bruce, with Batman.
Yeah, because she doesn't even know who he is.
Right. And
yeah, I remember that.
Though she runs into Bruce
in
3, I think.
Okay.
But she doesn't know who he is, but you get the feeling that he might know who she is.
Interesting. So.
And what's the – I don't want to say what's the point of the book, but what is it focused on? Like, is it following her as a cat burglar? Is it
– Yep, very much so. And she gets – she steals the wrong thing. Let's put it that way. And
doesn't she always?
Right. That's Catwoman. She steals the wrong thing. But it takes her a while, and when she finally realizes, you know, what's going on in issue 5, it's just that's when it starts to. She even says in issue 5 when she figures it out, she says, "I am so screwed."
And is she going up against like mobsters and stuff, or is it more super villainy stuff?
4 had a super villainy person, but she's working, but it's mob related as well. And cop related.
Interesting.
So that's why she realizes, you know, what's going on and who's after her. She's like, I'm so screwed.
You know, the more I think about it, that first issue reminded me a lot of that series that Jennifer Garner was in, Alias. That kind of the action part of it, not the, you know, gratuitous sex, but, you know, maybe, well, not necessarily gratuitous, but it kind of gave me that kind of vibe.
Love the first 2 seasons of that show, so.
Yeah. I need to get the rest of those. Yeah, that last one kind of got freaky, didn't it? But anyway, yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to have to check those out. That sounds interesting. Not that I'm, you know, have near enough books to read right now.
And like I said, the artwork is beautiful. Beautiful artwork.
And Winnick, he's a pretty good writer. I mean, he is a good writer. It's just I think, you know, I know Caleb agrees with me that he's a, you know, you like what he does or he doesn't like it. So, but anyway,
yeah, he does good with the, like the street level.
Mm-hmm.
And which is perfect for her.
Yeah. Well, I thought he did great on Batman there for a while. He was the one that did the Red Hood, came up with the Red Hood and all that. Even though the way that Todd came back was kind of lame, but, you know, whatever. Anyway. DC, next up. DC Unit, wait. Yes, DC Universe Presents number 4, the last of the – no, wait, is that the last?
No, number 5.
Oh, 5 was. Okay, never mind. Continuing on with the Dead Man's Story with Paul Jenkins and Bernard Chang. I like this story.
This is the one where they were at the amusement park, right?
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but it's still interesting.
Haven't read it yet. I have it, but don't. It has not made it back to the top of the pile.
Well, I don't know. I usually don't like this long. Well, and you know it is. It's long-winded metaphysical stuff, but it was interesting. So,
yeah, it's Dead Man and Fallen Angel, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. What was that guy's name? I don't remember.
Fallen Angel.
The son of Morning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is going to be that guy from Justice League. Okay.
Remember. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, they go on a roller coaster and they have a little chit chat.
Yes. Yes. Which some would say nothing happened.
Well, it's a good chit chat, though. Like,
there's a lot of character building there, and it's good, I think. Anyway. So. But, yeah. All right, well, not much to talk about there without ruining it. Okay, next up, Green Lantern Corps number 4. Peter J. Tomasi, Fernando Passerin, and Scott Hanna. This is good stuff, I'm telling you. You find out, I think, was it this one or the next one? Oh, yeah. The people with the indomitable willpower captured John and the rest of them. There's some torturing going on, and you start to get an inkling. This is where the Martian Manhunter first shows up.
He's popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
And, can I just ask you a question? Okay, sure. So I'm reading the solicit for number 4 here,
mm-hmm.
And the last line is, "The truth will rock the core to its foundation." How many effing foundations does the core have?
Well, okay. I agree with you that they use that a lot, but it does actually do that.
Okay.
It builds on something that you used to see in the old days. It had to do with their battery. And it also ties into – and the reason these guys are mad, it has to tie into the other Green Lantern book with the Guardians. They have decided that, like the Manhunters, it's time for a replacement. This is kind of – this is big spoilers if you're not reading the Green Lantern book, but this might make you interested in reading it. They've considered the Green Lantern Corps as a failure, and they're going to break it down, and they're going to replace it with another army, and that's kind of what's going on, and why they're fighting these guys has to deal with that, because they actually used to work for the Guardians. That big reveal is in number 5, who these guys are that they're fighting, and it's actually a very, very cool concept. And it ties into stuff that you used to see even back in the 70s. So I think Tomasi has done a really good job on this.
Those Guardians, they're always doing this. They never do any introspection. They need to visit Dead Man a little bit.
Yeah, I know. They do.
Soul searching and
they
hang out with Dead Man and ride a roller coaster.
Yeah. They don't have enough roller coasters in Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember Ganthet and that Saeed was a female Guardian and they started the Blue Lantern Corps? Well, the Guardians. The Ganthet was the one that gave Kyle Rayner his ring back when the Corps was destroyed.
Right.
And, well, the Guardians are back ponytail. What?
Yeah, the ponytail and everything.
Yeah, exactly. There was even a John Byrne story, Ganthet's Tale, which is pretty good. Anyway, that was with Hal Jordan. That's another episode.
Or the ponytail.
But yeah. But the other Guardians got a hold of him and drove out all his emotions, so he's like them now. So, I mean, there's big stuff going on in those books.
Does that make him a hipster or a slacker if he's got a ponytail?
Well, he doesn't have a ponytail anymore. They made him cut it off. So.
He's a conformer now.
Yeah, he's a conformer. He's a square.
All his chi has gone out with his ponytail. All right.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember that in that Jackie Chan movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
What was that?
Shanghai Noon.
Thank you. Yeah.
Movie. The second one was worse, but anyway. The first one was okay. The second one I didn't care for. But anyway, next up, Justice League number 4.
Yay.
Stuff happens in this book.
In this issue, yes.
Yes, it does. Well, in this issue, lots of stuff happens. And I have to tell you, it was really weird seeing Cyborg get a whole new origin.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Cyborg being in the Justice League. I think it's works, but I don't know.
It seems forced. Too.
Oh, that's the word I was going to use. Yes, it's definitely forced. Definitely forced.
It does. It seems like we need a black character. We need someone who's youngish, so we'll go with Cyborg, or we need a techie character, so we'll go with Cyborg. I don't know. Like
this isn't your dad's Justice League.
Right.
Yes, that is definitely that.
And as revealed over in Stormwatch, spoiler, John Jones was never a member of the Justice League. So they had to get their seven, and you're right. They needed a black guy, and
I thought they said he was in Stormwatch.
Yeah, he said he was in the first.
He says, "When I want to be a hero, I'm with the Justice League. When I want to be a warrior, I'm with Stormwatch."
Read the latest issue of Stormwatch. He says,
"Which one was that? Number 6?"
6. Yeah, 6. I know I'm way ahead of time here, but just FYI. So they
interesting.
He works with them, but yeah. And I'm going off a complete tangent off the book. But To your point, they needed a seventh member, and yeah, Cyborg is somewhat known black character that they could throw in, and it does feel incredibly shoehorned. So
they'll have to work hard to if they can give him some connections with characters pretty quickly and get some rapport going, it'll seem less forced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
I don't know. He's like, to me, he's just he's Teen Titans. He's young. He's and the Justice League is like a generation older, or a good 10, 15 years older than he is. Like, to me, there are other characters that could have filled that role. I don't know. He hasn't had a lot to do in the story yet, so it's possible that I
at
will
this point
mind, but.
Well, we got to remember too that the Justice League are a lot younger in this than what we're used to. I mean, they've de-aged him, and this is 5 years ago, so it's going to turn out that he's going to be pretty close to their age. You figure if he's 16, 17 in this, by the time the Justice League catches up with everything else, he's in his 20s, and they're saying that Batman and Superman are going to be, late 20s, so they are a little older than him, but not, New Earth.
Yeah.
what I'm really enjoying though is Batman and Green Lantern's interaction.
Oh, so cool.
I love it. He's just
and I love Flash and Green Lanterns as well.
Yeah, this is true. This is good.
Yeah, more of that, like more of the building up of the characters is exactly what this book needs. Like you need to see the interrelations between all of them.
Mm-hmm. Green Lantern is clearly the Green Lantern and Batman are clearly the main two characters at least for this story arc. There's no question about that. Yeah, but Green Lantern is definitely getting the John's focus in terms of characterization, and perfect example that he is played off of every single one of the other Justice Leaguers. I mean, there's the whole in this one where he mocks Aquaman,
and that's so fantastic.
Just rips into the parademons.
Uh-huh.
Right? And Hal Jordan's just sitting there going, oh, okay, yeah, that'll work.
Never mind.
Yeah.
But I think the main reason that he does that is because Green Lantern is especially Hal Jordan, is the character that he's written the most.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course. Sure. But it just – he plays off of every single one of them. I mean, he's got the scene where he's got, mm-hmm. you know, Hal Jordan's hand on Diana's butt in one of the issues.
Yeah, where he touches the lasso. I love that.
Yeah, the last
number five or
nine? I think that's in five.
Was that in five? Okay, sorry.
Oh no. No, it is in four. It's right there.
Yeah.
I'm getting those mixed up.
So I mean, the
thing I do is to show off. I love
he gets an opportunity to play off all the other characters, which is cool. His interaction in the team is great. And again, stepping ahead to number five, that where Batman forces him to step up was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm still shocked about what he had Batman doing that.
In number five?
Yeah.
He's definitely riding a different Batman. He's still grim and gritty, but he's got a lot more human side to him, as a matter, you know.
That's the way it should be.
For instance, in what we were just talking about, when he's touching Diana's lasso,
mm-hmm.
and she says, you know, it makes you tell the truth. And then he turns around and says, are you laughing, Batman?
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't lost all his Robins yet. I mean, he's, you know, this is him.
It's true.
He's still working on Robin number one.
They've all graduated.
That's right. So, you know, I mean, he hasn't gone through all the crap that he's supposedly going to go through the next 5 years to become a little more grim and gritty. I mean, yeah, his parents were murdered and stuff. We all got that. But, you know, he hasn't fought Joker, at least not to the extent that we would probably think he has. He hasn't, you know, had to deal with Scarecrow maybe. Who knows? I mean, I'm supposing about a lot of stuff here that hasn't been revealed. But, yeah, he is much lighter, which is fun. It's fun.
I like that.
I'd almost like to see this book stay 5 years ago. That would be fun.
Actually, I think I agree with you, because, you know, that's a good story, showing them just learning. But anyway,
I wish they'd have done that with a lot of the books, though, and just
if
they're going to start over the universe, just start over the universe. I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people would have, you know, had the internet would have exploded and people would have marched onto DC's building, but if you're going to start over and put some of them 5 years ago, then start over and put all of them. Start, you know, start everything over, mm-hmm. and just say, "Hey, New Earth, New Earth, New Earth," whatever. And I think it would have been fun to see different things develop than what we're seeing now. Not that I'm saying that I don't like what's going on, mm-hmm. but you know,
yeah, that also would have put a level of complication into it all, because everybody would have to collaborate more too, if you really think about it, to keep the story straight.
Yeah.
And that might be why they didn't do it. But anyway.
They've had some good editorial control. I gotta tell you.
I have to admit, they've done pretty good so far.
There's a scene in OMAC, the latest issue, that ties directly into DC Universe number 6, which is wow, that's nice. So.
Sweet. Good to know. All right. Next up on this is Legion of Superheroes number 4.
Woohoo!
Woo! I believe we are all fans of this. Is that right, Brian?
Yay, Legion.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Which, by the way, another tangent to Robin, that's our secret origin. Okay, go on.
That is, yes. We're going to hold off on her email – his email till next week. But anyway, Levitz continuously takes the characters and does things with them that I don't quite understand why he does it, but I still like it. Does that make sense? Like,
okay. Like what? What did he do?
Well, yes, like this whole thing at the beginning with Chemical Kid. You know, about making him take care of that, which he is not anywhere near as heroic acting as he was in before the reboot. I'm kind of, you know, he's all mouth. I don't really like that kid. Can you tell?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. He was all mouth when he was in school with...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's... Now, what...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, Murray.
Oh, sorry. No, I think I was just going to say what you're going to say. He's with the big kids now, and he realizes he's a little bit out of his element.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's gone from being like the sixth grader to the high school. You know what I mean? It's all of a sudden he's the sophomore, and he realizes, crap, I'm not the big kid in school anymore.
Big fish, little pond, just to small fish, big pond. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I like that it shows. Sorry, go ahead, Murray.
No, you go ahead.
I like that you see the difference. You know, you see Element Lad, who's been in there for a long, long time, and how calmly he handles this whole thing. Yeah. Hey, just do this. You can do this. You know what you're doing. And then when he seems to freak out, you still see Element Lad just kind of, hey, you know, okay, do it. You know, you can just tell one's been at this a lot longer than the others.
Yep.
And it's implied, and again, I'm reading between the lines, that, you know, he, Element Lad and Chemical King, perhaps had, were working together back in the day. It never really showed it, but he had, Element Lad has an idea of how Chemical Kid's powers are supposed to work, so
mm-hmm.
he clearly...
Well, I think it's because their powers are very similar.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I wonder, though, like, I kind of saw it as Element Lad wishing that he had done more for Chemical King. Like, if he had stepped in and helped Chemical King with some of his powers and issues, then maybe they wouldn't have lost him during World War VII or whatever. Seven. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, that makes sense.
A bit, and he's a bit more of a leader, and he's a little more confident than he was way back then. And if he had done what he's done now way back then... Maybe they still would have had Chemical King.
And not just, you know, and I know that, you know, some people may listen to this are scared off of Legion because of all of the backstory and the 25 regular characters plus supporting characters and so on and so forth. But what we're talking about here is a lot of Easter egg stuff that
mm-hmm.
is good for those of us who have history. But this book is really accessible. And it did not, at least for me, feel like it needed to have one of those previously boxes. Levitz is really good at filling in the question marks as you get through the story, and this is also one of those books that takes advantage of the ID boxes that pop up.
Yeah,
I love
which
those.
It was Johns that did that in Superman and the Legion of Superheroes thing in Action Comics that he did, and it's stuck ever since, which I think is great.
Actually, that started back with Wade and Kitson.
Well, yeah. Did it start with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It did. My bad.
Yeah, and Wade even said, "Fine, let him take credit for it." But he knows. I think it's something to that effect. So,
I guess it didn't resonate with me in that because I was used to seeing it in the Legion. But when it was in that story, I don't know. It was just great seeing the real Legion back. I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Wade did do that. That was way before.
Levitz takes advantage of that you can do a lot of visual, and then that includes using the letterer as part of the team. And so, you know, if you're not currently reading Legion, don't be scared that, okay, this is number four, there's a lot of crap that's going on before. Yes, there is, but it really is good about not losing new readers.
Mm-hmm.
And people have a valid point when they say that, you know, Legion has so much continuity behind it. But how many of us were reading comics back when the Legion started? You know, how many of us were even around? I didn't start reading the Legion till the mid to late, well, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was still plenty of continuity stacked up then. And it's just one of those things you start and you might be a little confused, but that's the fun of reading it.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Find out the backstories. Find out who Chemical King is and why there was a World War VII and some of these things. That's the fun of being a comic fan.
Yeah. And that's
sorry, I'll get off my soapbox.
No. I mean, I've brought that up before. A lot of people have complained some of these books need, you know, Legion Lost number one was just horribly dense. They could have put more in that, but sometimes I like not knowing and want to figure that stuff out. So, but anyway, yeah, this is definitely good stuff. Lovitz is on his game.
And I think Francis Portella likes drawing Shadow Lass's ass.
That's fine.
He likes drawing asses.
You see her from the back, I think, more than from the front.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Seems like there was a comment somebody made about this issue because of the little shots of little supermodel poses with the skimpy girl outfits when this came out. I can't remember who it was. Especially Lightning Lass's outfit that you can see her, you know, panties underneath her shirt or thing or whatever.
It's panties, it's okay.
Yeah, so what? But hey, you know, we're all males. We're all, you know.
Hey, at least she's wearing them under her clothes.
Exactly, yeah. Very good point.
That's right. She, yeah, that's part of the DC thing. She's wearing her underwear inside. She's mm-hmm. she's a team player.
Mm-hmm. Definitely no... there is no pants or pants only rule in the 30th century. That's for sure. So
thank goodness for that.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. Next up, Nightwing number 4 by Kyle Higgins and Trevor McCarthy. This was kind of an interesting thing to have Batgirl show up right after their Nightwing and her had a misunderstanding in their title, but they kind of, you know, they did write around that to sufficiently explain it, and it was kind of neat to see them team up together, and really didn't delve into the underlying plot that much that's been going on with the Haley Circus. It kind of sidestepped it, but yep.
Good just old- as long as there was no bat kissing.
No, nothing going on that time.
Good.
Well, maybe at the beginning, but, you know.
No tongues? Okay.
Yeah.
Back on the cheek.
Bed together, but, you know, not, well, not Barbara, but the other redhead in his life. Which, you know, in recent issues of Nightwing, you find out some about her. But anyway, it was a good issue. I would call it a fill-in. So, anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's good. I still like it. Higgins still on that. Doesn't seem like there's any talk of him leaving at the moment anyway. He does a lot better on that than he did on Deathstroke in my eyes. So I'm sure you all agree.
So I was listening to Comic Geek Speak recently.
Mm-hmm.
The grandfathers of comic book podcasts.
Yes.
And they were talking about this group that exists out there, or maybe it's a myth, but the group of women who are huge Nightwing fans, and they were the power behind Nightwing not getting killed during Infinite Crisis,
mm-hmm.
and they apparently are also the ones who broke up Dick and Barbara because they hate Barbara Gordon.
All right. Really? I hadn't heard that.
I like Barbara Gordon.
I need to catch up on my episodes.
I don't remember which episode it was, but it was one of those sidebars that they go off on, and
mm-hmm.
I just thought that was interesting. And it's almost like they now with these types of stories, they're teasing that group of women, saying, "Hey, you know, yeah, we'll keep drawing Dick Grayson as the sex pot, you know, male figure in the DC universe." But every once in a while, we're going to mess with you guys with this Barbara Gordon popping up here or him popping up in her book. I totally thought.
How could a group of people hold that much sway? I mean, I can understand him not getting killed. I mean, I was on that bandwagon, but decide who he's going to, you know, I don't know.
No.
I'll have to listen to that and see what I hear. I'm going to get out of that.
Yeah, I'd be curious, too. I don't know what the numbers have always been on Nightwing, but they would have that much financial power. Anyhow.
Well, because the Nightwing series was up in the hundreds. 150s, wasn't it, before it ended?
I don't know.
I've got them all, but I don't remember. So.
Anyhow.
Even one of my – I wrote a letter to DC about number 25, and the entire letters column of number 29 was printed. It printed it. So if you have an issue with that, you can check that out and, you know, read my letter that I wrote. So anyway, big plug for me again.
So how do we feel about them? If they should they bring back letter columns? No, I'm kidding. Let's move on.
It was cool for a while, but I think the way things are now with the internet, that's kind of, you know. Anyway. Red Hood and the Outlaws. Still loving this book. Still loving this book. It's just fun. Continuity stuff aside about Starfire, which they've kind of backtracked a little bit. I think she, when she got knocked out, she said Richard once. I thought that was kind of interesting.
She did. I don't think they backtracked. They have. I think Starfire is probably playing the team a little bit in terms of how,
right,
of how poor her memory for Earthlings is. Like, I think, I don't know. I think that it's part of the act that she is putting on.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of keep herself distanced from the team and to stop herself from being hurt again and that all that, you know, gibbity gibbity.
But it also makes her appear more of a badass. I mean, you know, she was kind of the, you know, she was kind of the princess in the old universe, and now, you know, the way that Lovedell is portraying her is that she's a badass who would just, you know, who, you know, rip your eyeballs out just to, you know, if you stare at her too long. Mm-hmm. And if she's, you know, getting all moon, doughy eyed over Dick Grayson, you know, that kind of defeats that perception. So I agree with you, Murray. There's no backtracking. It's just that is her game.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to think of it. I didn't even think of that.
Have they completed the first story arc yet on that?
No, not really.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Each issue is kind of, I think each issue is kind of a story on its own, and then the kind of ongoing background thing is Red Hood with this mysterious cult of assassins that trained him or whatever. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's kind of an ongoing plot that I think will go on for quite a while. Red Hood hunting down the, I don't know, I can't even remember their names because it doesn't stick with me. The character stuff in this book sticks with me, and the beautiful artwork sticks with me, but
mm-hmm.
once Red Hood starts talking about monks and assassins and jibbity-jab, then I kind of blank out for a little bit. But,
that's funny, because that's what one of the things that keeps me reading this, besides the action and the, you know, character stuff, but that's interesting to me.
Yeah, to me it's like, okay, Red Hood's good, and mysterious knife guys, alien creatures are bad. That's all I really need to know. There's probably more of a backstory there, but eh. So that's kind of continuing on. And then each issue has just kind of been the team kind of following. Well, at this point, they're looking for the bad alien assassin mm-hmm. creatures.
Right.
And ironically, the group you're thinking of, Murray, is the Untitled.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I couldn't think of the title.
Funny, that's funny. I forgot. Yeah, that's funny.
I might have to give this a shot.
You should.
It's a good character. It's really a character driven book, I find. Like,
and I've read Tim Drake's going to be showing up in here too. That should be interesting.
Neat.
Make time for it, Brian. It's a fun book, and you know, just like you did with Catwoman, get past, you know, the visual cheesecake that's clearly just there for cheesecake's sake.
There's cheesecake in this book? I didn't even notice.
it's right there there.
Okay,
there.
All right, I see it.
There it is.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing that Perez didn't do.
Well, that's just true. This is true.
I mean, there's that really famous splash page from Judas Contract of Starfire when she's in the quote unquote photo shoot. So
yeah, you know, I've read that, I've looked at that so much, it just popped in my head just now.
There you go.
That's because I love Perez's art, you know. That's
right.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. So he is my favorite anyway.
And your wife's favorite, right?
Well, yeah, she knows who. I can show. It's funny because I've shown her so much of his art, Perez's art, that she can't pick him out. It's like, okay, who drew this? Oh, that's George Perez. So, yeah. She can't
actually
do that with
me. She's just telling you that because she knows that's the only guy you ever show her.
That's true. It's probably true. She does pick up things, though. So, but anyway, okay. Moving on. We're still not done with the first week.
We will be.
Okay, fast.
Oh, wait. Okay, Supergirl. That's the one I haven't. I don't think any of us but Mr. Nixon is reading that, right?
Me, loving yeah. Supergirl.
You love that, huh? Well, tell
us. I do. Again, it's another one of those that surprised me. I wasn't reading the Sterling Gates, Jamal Igel stuff. Mm-hmm. I like we're 5 issues in so far. She still doesn't speak English. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't. She thinks it's kind of all a bad dream. She's trying to figure things out, and she's not the she's not the innocent, you know, she wants to know what's going on. It can't have been this guy that says he's Superman can't really be my little cousin Cal because he was only a couple days old. You've got this corporation that's gone after her now and captured her. And I like that even though she can't understand him, she can understand him. You know, she's kind of guessing what's going on just by their actions. And again, on this one, I'll give it this. The art is another thing that's keeping me here because this is another one where I just love the artwork.
Hmm. That's Mahmoud Azrar.
Oh, yeah, from...
he does good stuff.
Yes.
What book was he on? I read some crap.
He did a backup...
Dynamo 5. That's what it was.
Yes, he did Dynamo 5.
Create Your Own Thing, Dynamo 5. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, continue.
No, it's just that. The villain they've got going in the first 4 issues, very Lex Luthor-ish. Mm. You know, he's the businessman that wants the knowledge and wants to know what's going on. But with a little more high-tech twist. But yeah, very good. Good stuff.
Hmm.
It's the only super title I'm still reading.
Hmm. Interesting.
You're not reading Action?
Oh yeah, that's right. I do read Action. My bad.
Yeah.
That's not a super title. That's an action title.
Cause I'm reading this is the only one I'm not reading. I just didn't want to go through another origin of Supergirl, but you know, who knows? I might pick it up and trade.
That's the wonderful thing about digital, man. You don't have to ever worry about finding back issues.
Yeah,
you
can I know.
Say, you know what? I'm going to go buy Red Hood and the Outlaws, and I can sit down here in the hotel and click, 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 and boom, mm-hmm. I've got 5 issues.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you know, you go to Comixology, and they're having a focus sale. You know, and
absolutely.
I'm sure they have a super sale at some
yep.
point. So
that's exactly what I've been doing, too.
I picked up Infinite Crisis that way a couple weeks ago, 99 cents.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
It's nice to be able to carry a big chunk of collection with me on the road and not have to worry about, you know, packing an extra bag.
Oh, I know. That's what I love.
I'll tell you, I wish my work to go again, tangent. I wish during my lunch hour I could read some of these digital books at work, but I can't access them, which is really irritating.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure they block it.
Well, just that. I can't even take a jump drive in, but whatever.
That makes sense.
Bastards.
Mine is blocked Facebook because it's mostly women in the office, so you can't get on Facebook. But you can get on Comixology because there's only one geek in the office.
There you go. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, my name is Brian, and I'm a geek.
So,
No. Okay. Is that it?
Like.
You got something naughty in your head, don't you?
No. What he said about Facebook and the women in the office.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, you won't let that go. All right. What?
Wonder Woman.
Okay. Next up, Wonder Woman. Loving this book. I've never bought Wonder Woman on a consistent basis, and I love what he's doing with this book. It is so good. Wonder Woman in a bar, listen to music.
Wonder Woman's going hipster. She's had a bad day, and she's going off to dance her cares away.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Brian Azzarello writing this book is a perfect fit, apparently.
I think so. I'm just loving it. I really am. It's just so – it's deep but not too deep, and there's – you know, there was a little bit of action in this one, and
And that's not even the memorable part, though, which is great. Yeah. It's like, you know, you think, oh, comic books, you got to have biff, bang, boom, and there's very little – there's very little biff. There's no bang. And there's no boom in this. It's all about the dialogue. It's all about the character growth.
I don't know though. What Diana does with that wine glass in the bar? Yeah,
that was cool.
That just kind of made you take your hand off the mouse and shake your hand a little.
yeah, that it's just good. It's good stuff. And I like that they got her so tall. That's the way it should be. Yeah. You know.
Well, the other Amazon, the other main Amazon that's popping up in the DCU right now over at Demon Knight, she's also a Gigantor, so which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that character. Well, at least so far, anyway.
I don't know. Every time I read this book, I, like, roll my eyes, and then I go back and I reread it, and I'm like, okay, it's all right. I like it.
What? But, okay, why do you roll your eyes?
This, I don't know, last issue, like issue 3, she's all whiny. Oh, I have a mother. Boo hoo 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 hoo. This issue, she's off. She's drinking her heart out. She's dancing away because, oh, she has a family. Boo hoo 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 hoo. However, once you set all that aside, Caleb, you're right. His language, like the way he uses language in this book, is really cool. Like, just like even on that first page where he's got, I guess it's Ares saying hello, brother, and then Apollo is like hello, like breaks the two words up. There's little and plays with the words throughout the whole book. It's really cool. Like that's cool. And
yeah, I see what. Yeah, I reread this today before refreshing my memory. But yeah, he does it again and. You know, Paul says, no war, I truly am. And then War says, no war, that's a grand idea. You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. It is cool. It's good.
It's like it's never going to be under Azzarello anyway, I don't think. Like we're not going to see the cheetah. We're not going to see the silver swan or Dr. Psycho or anything. But
he said it's going to be more of a horror book.
Yeah, it's more of a it's like an HBO show, I think. Like you could easily see it on HBO with or Stars or whichever channel is doing that.
The first thing I thought of was Sex in the City. So I've never watched an episode, but that just it kind of got that feel.
I was thinking more Spartacus. It's got
Spartacus. Okay, I've never watched that either, but yeah. But yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that it's focusing on the Greek myths and it's tying them in and it's like a family drama with Greek mythology rolled in there and it's good. You know what, I'm still not loving that uniform of hers. Like it's still too red, white, and blue, and I'm missing the gold and the striped color.
Should have just left it with pants.
No,
I agree.
No.
I mean, I like that look. It makes more sense.
No.
But, you know, whatever.
A bathing suit makes sense. That makes sense. She's a chick.
Yeah, we gotta show legs. Female superhero has got to show some skin.
That's great. Get Portello in here to draw her butt. And
there
we'll
you
be
go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's like a Schumacher movie. Everybody shows their butt at least once.
There we go. Beauty.
All right. We made it through.
Week three.
Yes, we did.
And it's only an hour and 34 minutes in.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Moving on.
We're going to be raging bullets.
All-Star Western, number four, In the Dark Underbelly of Gotham. With Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti, Maura Tett. I think I'm just going to change my name to one word, too. I kind of like that. Call me Moe's.
I start calling you Cher. Okay?
Yeah, there you go. And Phil Winslade. But anyway, loving this book. I didn't think the, you know, him staying in one spot in Gotham thing would work, but they're doing it in such a way that it makes sense.
How long can they do it, though?
I don't know. Those guys did a lot of good stuff with Jonah Hex. I think they might be able to
Only Gotham is filled with, like, psychos and criminals all over the place. He could totally retire there and be
Gotham's becoming a character unto itself.
Yeah, and when they were first talking about that in that Gates of Gotham thing, I thought, well, that's just like a ridiculous idea, but they're really doing a good job with it and making it work. So, and I like the backup in this too. No, you know, secret files from Star Labs in here. An actual story.
No zombies.
Yeah, no zombies.
Oh, they got rid of those this time.
Yeah. So yeah, but I like it.
I like when some of the journal entries from Arkham.
Oh yeah.
It talks about how he from Amadeus Arkham, and he talks about how smart Jonah Hex actually is.
Mm-hmm.
No one expects him to be as smart as he is, and that's why he is so effective at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a detective. I mean, he basically. Gray and Palmiotti have made him into a Batman type character. I don't know if he always was. Maybe that's how they've always written him, or written that way. But he is much more, at least this presentation. He is a detective. He is, you know, he's an ass kicker.
Yeah, when you're a hunter of men, you have to have that kind of ability, or you can't find your prey. So,
and I'm impressed.
Yeah, he does a really good job with it. Yeah, when I first read about this with the Arkham guy and him together, I thought that's never going to work. But they're really pulling it off, and I enjoy every issue when it comes out.
Yeah, it's very Holmes and Watson.
Mm-hmm. Don't even mind paying an extra buck for it.
No, you get your story.
My dogs like it too. See, they're just picking up. You can hear. I don't know if you can hear them or not, but
two whoops up.
Yep. Next up, Aquaman.
Yay!
Jeff Johns, Ivan Reis, Joe Pardo. This is the last of the Trench storyline, I believe, which I'm glad because that was getting old. But it's still a really good book. I really like what he's doing with this character. And I heard it outsold all Marvel titles in January.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, that was, you know, who'd have thunk? But the first storyline was good. I like how it ended. They have a dog now. I hope they don't call it Aqua Dog, because if they do, I will quit reading this book.
Yeah, well, they called their kid Aqua Baby.
Oh, they did?
Yes. He didn't get a name until long after he was killed, I don't think.
That's too bad.
I think they're going to get a web-footed sidekick, and they're going to call him Aqua Duck.
Oh, Lord,
that's crazy. I'm going to see you. Bye.
He's here all week. Tip your waitresses. Try the veal. Yeah, I really do like this. It's a good book. Nice big splash page with explosions and big ugly mutant fishes.
Yeah, this was a good wrap-up.
Yeah, it was.
It was a very good wrap-up.
Yep.
There's a huge story built into this that is just clearly going to be running through the next
year
or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see that as long as Geoff Johns is on the book, he's got a big story to tell, and he's...
He always does.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's good at that.
I'm hoping he brings in some of Peter David's Atlantis Chronicles stuff. It feels that he's going to focus more on the Atlantis part mm-hmm. coming up here. So.
And, you know, I heard about some plans for a big crossover called The Blackest Fish, too, later on. Oh, sorry. Just kidding.
Where's the digital slap button?
Yes, all the jokes are free, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on. Let's see. Did I get that right? Oh, yeah. Batman The Dark Knight, number 4. I've talked many a day of how I don't – the only Batman book that I don't read, which – oh, Lord help me. Might change with that, whatever that guy's name is. Huggerwitz or whatever.
The guy doing the Penguin.
Yes, yeah. The guy doing the Penguin book. He shall be named. Yeah. Anybody else reading that?
No.
Anyone? Nope. Anyone? Okay, moving on. Black Ops number 4.
Nope.
Anyone? Nope. Anyone?
Did I read this one? It's my last issue, actually. Number 4 was the last one for this book. I actually dropped it before I knew it was going to be canceled. So, okay.
That's pretty telling then, isn't it?
It's fun. I mean, it's a good book, but it's just I'm not going to miss it. You know, I kind of had to – you know, I was looking at my pile of books, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, oh, yeah, I really want to see what happens next issue. I want to see what happens next issue. And then I just – thought, well, do I care? And like, not really. I'd love to see these guys pop up here and there, maybe even get a run in that DC Universe book, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road here. Or, you know, pop up, and maybe they'll do a Secret Organizations miniseries, and these guys would be a good part of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, they got enough of them, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they do. They're going a little overboard with that.
Oh my God! Well, they're saying, okay, you want a secret organization? Sure, go ahead, do one. So,
which everybody knows a lot about all those secret organizations, so they're not really doing a good job. So,
yeah, for goodness' sake.
Because it was in that OMAC issue or the tie-in with that where Max Lord was saying we are the premier secret organization. We're the most secret organization. Or something like that. I thought that was kind of funny, but anyway,
it's true, and it's true. And this is just fun, and you know, for those who like G.I. Joe, this is DC's answer to it. It just DC doesn't need it, and frankly, unfortunately, Mike Costa hasn't grabbed me to continue reading. I said it at the time. Number one was one of the best number ones they put out, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunately just gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
It couldn't live up to that. And even on that stand, even lowering the standard to number one, it still hasn't kept up to it, unfortunately. I won't miss this book, but nothing wrong with it. People who are reading it and like it, great. I can see why, but.
Yeah. They got, four more issues, right?
Yeah. I'd like to see them, you know, in this war book that they're coming out with, I'd love to see them do the old Blackhawks.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Have they referenced the old Blackhawks at all in the current book or no?
No.
Okay.
That might be in Earth 2.
Maybe.
Moving along here, we got Flash number 4. Francis Manapal, Brian Buccoletto, man hitting it out of the park once again. The art in this book is awesome.
He is taking storytelling to like the next level with his artwork. The way that his page layouts are just, this is one of the books where I love to read it digitally and get, you know, the close up. But then I'll go back and just look at the whole page spread because it is so beautiful the way he does things and just,
I always look forward to how he's going to put the Flash, the words, the Flash. Into the issue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now again, not to get too far ahead, but the way he did it, number 5 was amazing. So.
Right, that was cool.
number four had some great page layouts too, like the page where we're getting Manny's origin and we see the story told with the cut off limbs.
Right.
You see the hand, each panel is a hand with a little finger chopped off, and you get a couple of feet panels. And like I missed it at first, and then I kind of sat back and went, "Oh, that's cool." And
I was looking at it, and the next page shows a tree, and they got the stories in between the branches. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And then the tears break up the panel. Yeah, there's some great.
Definitely.
Panel layout and design work in this book. Beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's definitely good stuff. A lot to learn there, and I take back everything I ever said about Manipal. He was obviously not the one holding this book back.
No, he totally wasn't. I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do. Like, now that he's got this first storyline kind of out of the way, I want to see... Yeah, I want to see the rest. Like, I want to see him take on some of the just other characters and new ideas and there's so much good stuff in it. I want to continue to see new stuff. So even though I enjoyed the first storyline, I want to enjoy the other storylines I'm sure he's got coming up. So
yeah, that's gonna be good. Some of the solicitations are going to delve into the Speed Force a little bit. So, yeah, definitely good stuff. Let's see. Next up, the Fury of Firestorm, the Nuclear Men. I'm probably the only one that got this.
No, I got it. I'm stuck with it till 5.
You're stuck with it till when?
Till issue 5.
Okay. This was I read this. I'm still trying to give it a chance.
That about says it all.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, I stopped with this one. This was it. And it got to page. I got to page. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, and the whole thing with the binoculars.
Oh, that. Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I read the rest of the issue, but it's like, yeah, okay, that's it. But I mean, there was some world building there, and I guess I'm just not keen of, you know, all these different firestorms around. It just doesn't. It's just not.
Yeah, when every country or neighborhood can have its own firestorm, it diminishes the character somewhat to me. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I don't know.
It's like when they had the Green Lantern Corps all on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. It's not that it's too political, but I mean, because it could have. It's fine. Like, that gives it a distinct tone in the DCU books. Like, it's certainly a political tale, but it's so dark and I don't know. It's dark. Like, it's just dark, and there's not enough character stuff. Like, it's all plot. There's no, like,
yeah, and it's not really that. I mean, it's been done so many times. We're just talking about that secret government organization, you know.
Like, the character stuff that I want to see is between Ronnie and Jason. Like, and the stuff that I liked in Brightest Day was that they were interacting. I didn't have to have them like each other. I was fine with them sniping at each other. I'm fine with them arguing, but they're not even doing that in this book. Like, they're not doing anything. Like, they kind of get along because they have to, but you don't even get the sense that they are getting along because they have to. Like, you just they went from issue one to being like issue one, they hated each other, and now they're working together, and they haven't gone, like, they haven't examined it at all, or they haven't thought about why, or they're not saying, oh, this is really funny that now we're good. Like, ugh. It's just, it's not working for me.
Nope.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if they let go of the whole white man guilt thing that was going on in number one.
Yeah, that's too. Like, they don't, the characters say stuff because they have to say stuff because they have to tell the story. There's not any, you know, Jason feels guilty that his girlfriend's been shot because he's supposed to feel guilty. Well, I mean, anyone would feel guilty, but I mean, it's surface level guilt. It's I don't know.
Yeah, I have to say, and I might be, you know, I don't know how you guys feel, but this is probably my biggest disappointment out of all of them.
That's what I was going to say. It's Firestorm's my favorite character, always has been.
Yeah.
And I loved Sinar's artwork when he was doing Legion.
Mm-hmm.
Love Simone's writing. I thought, hey, this is a book tailor-made for me. It's got my favorite character, one of my favorite writers, and an artist that I'm loving. And it was 0-3 on that first issue. I just went, I didn't even pick up issue 2. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm done. And then it just horribly disappointing because.
Yeah, I've only been, it's like I want to like this book, and this is it for me.
The artwork seems to have gotten better. Like, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing first issue because it looked not washed out, but it didn't look like they were
washed. Yeah, that's one of the big problems I had. Especially when if you were looking at it digitally, so your frames are big and blown up and bright. It was like, well, here's the inks, and then they just kind of washed watercolor between the inks, so it wasn't watercolor and it wasn't inks, and it just didn't look good.
Yeah, like they've gone back to having solid inked outlines and stuff, and so that's cleared the art up a little bit, and it's looking better. Like if that was something that you didn't like, that's kind of improved. But again, I don't know if the inker isn't meshing with them or if it's his art is not the same as it was on Legion. Like on Legion, I liked it. It was open and bright and fun.
Really crisp.
Yeah, and here it's getting better, but it's not. Yeah, it's not what I remembered from Legion at all.
And here's a kicker. Number 7 and number 8 drawn by Van Sciver. He's going to take up the pencils for 7 and 8.
Okay.
Damn them. I may have to get those.
And it's got Firehawk in it too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
See, and that's she's the character I always get that I started collecting sketches about. So
yeah, I don't have know. To get I that. Never,
Dang
did,
it!
I never did get into that character. I don't know why.
Oh, loved her too. I've read
some of those, but yeah.
When she was in issue 1 of Identity Crisis, how about
that was a great issue for her. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I just always thought she's a great visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With all the fire coming not just off her hair, but off her wrists and ankles and everything, and the wings. Just great visual.
So, yeah, I may actually have to pick up 7 and 8. I have not read since issue 1. So,
yeah, dumb it.
I know. Sorry. Sorry to add an extra $6 in digital.
All right.
No, $4. I'll wait.
$4, you're right, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, that's easier to swallow.
All right. Moving on. Green Lantern New Guardians. I'm still getting this. This is another one I'm having trouble with. It seems so forced. The concept is interesting. It's kind of find out Agent Orange is the one that brought them all together. There's some kind of huge planet, solar system sized thing that came through a white hole at the end of it. And yeah, they barely get into that in the next issue. But one from each of the cores working together. It's, I don't know.
I'm glad, though, that they didn't go with the Hal and Sinestro and Carol, that it is kind of a different lineup. They still have Arkillo, and they still have Saint Walker, but even the Indigo is a different one. So it's,
yeah,
you know, it's an, they're exploring new characters at least.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Indigo one, what's her name? The one who,
Fatale, yeah.
Yeah. Who's planet?
No, she's the Star Sapphire. The Indigo is the scroll looking guy.
Yes. He's
got the chin like a scroll.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got my color schemes all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is a Star Sapphire. That's right. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you can see why they would have taken this book, though, because coming out of Brightest Day and Blackest Night, like mm-hmm. the colored lanterns were they were pretty popular and people were into them, and it makes sense to craft a book around them.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand. I don't know. It's one of those, I don't understand where it's going, I guess. So I'm still reading it to kind of, okay, where is this going? I'm just like, it's more out of curiosity than enjoyment, I guess. So I just have a feeling this is one of those, we want a book about all one from each thing. Write it, you know?
Well, and but it gives them an out, and you know, it covered, you know, kind of talking about Red Lanterns on top of this, but it gives an opportunity. They get through this storyline, now they have a place where they can tell stories that focus on the Blue Lantern. Then they can tell stories focused on the Indigo and the Star Sapphires, and it gives them a place to put Kyle Rayner. Yep. So. Mm-hmm.
And Tyler's good at drawing to pretty women.
Yeah, he is. He's good.
Does he do the butts?
Let's see.
Let me check it out.
Let me check.
But yeah, anyway, that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm still trying to decide if I like this or not. I mean, I like it, but I don't love it. Like,
yeah, it's a middle of the stack read. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Next up, iVampire number 4.
Yay!
Loving it. Good stuff. Though I think this particular issue, I had a little issue with. him showing that guy how to transform into the werewolf. Just like, oh yeah. Yeah, oh, hey, here's a horrible power that you have know nothing about. Let me show you. Yeah, it is. Okay, you guys have fun. And then he goes off and kills a bunch of people. I kind of had a little trouble with that. But it gave me an excuse to throw in Constantine in there, so.
It's setting up for the crossover that they're going to have in a couple months here. Mm-hmm. And he's flawed. Andrew.
Yeah, he is.
The main character from iVampire is a flawed character, and he tries to see the best in people, quote unquote people, and it came back and bit him in the ass, so to speak, and that's fine, you know. And like you said, here's Constantine, got to put him in. I like this issue. I want to see more Mary issues, but that's okay. I can take some Andrew focused issues since he's supposed to be the hero of the book.
Right.
Okay, so recap for me the first 4 issues. It's like first issue I get Mary and Andrew are ex-lovers and they're
Vampires have been in hiding for years.
Right, and she wants to take over the world.
Yeah, yes. She decides that she's tired of hiding and she wants to rule the earth with her vampire army. And he gets surprised by the fact that she's already created one. And he's basically teamed up with these other people. One that he's known for years and one he's just met, which ends up being the guy in this issue's, so it's fighting vampires, and that's what the crossover is going to be. Vampire War, I think it's going to be called.
Yeah, it's not overly complicated, Murray. It's exactly what Chris said. It's there's your summary box right there. Yeah, yeah.
Next issue, which I haven't read yet, but they go to Gotham there. So that should be good. And I know Batman.
So is it lots of character stuff, character development?
Oh, but... yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you ever watched Angel, I love that show. Anyway, there's a lot of that brooding hero kind of thing in there, so.
Angel would have been great without Angel. Like Cordelia, she's awesome. And that blonde Harmony chick, she was great. And Spike, awesome. But yeah. Angel, blah.
Okay.
Oh, sucky McSuck pants. Always.
Wow, don't hold back, dude.
Ugh, he drove me bananas.
Yeah, ugh. That was all over the place, wasn't it?
Boo hoo hoo. I'm a vampire. Boo hoo hoo. Ugh.
There was a little of that in this one, but not too much.
Yeah, they Falcoff has definitely pulled back on the potential for emo in this book. He could have gotten very, very emo, and it felt like it was going to do that with the first issue. But you know, the character's old, So he had his emo moments along, you know, in
the Middle Ages. Other,
yeah, the Middle Ages previous series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Middle Ages. Maybe he'll pop up in Demon Knights. Oh, that'd be cool. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, another idea for you, DC. Anyway, I really like it, and I've said many times I hate vampires, but that's good stuff. No twinkle going on in this.
No, but they are. Sunlight is not one of their weaknesses, which I think is great.
Well, so. It stripped him of his powers, but it didn't kill him. That's what.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. So. All right, continuing on. What we got? Justice League Dark.
Dark.
Somebody else have to take that one because I dropped that after three. Not my cup of tea.
You know what? I'm enjoying this one too. I like this book. It's twisted and exactly what the name says. It's dark. I don't know why it's called Justice League Dark, other than so it's, they can throw it in with the Justice League title.
Purely marketing, my friend.
Right. But I like the cast of characters. The way they're being forced together doesn't seem forced because they don't really – some of them want to work with each other and some of them are like, why do we have to work with this guy? Mm-hmm. All of you are idiots anyway and yeah, it's – I like it. I really do. I like the art too. The art fits the story.
I think one of the things that the mistakes that DC has made with the character Deadman – is I always thought it was cool that no one could actually see him, that he was always just hanging around in the background. Occasionally he'd pop into someone's body and get, you know, have a conversation and then pop out. It seems like everyone can see him in this book as well as Hawk and Dove and wherever else he's popping up, except for in his individual story. But that would be my only complaint with this book. It's a great, fun, dark title.
Yeah. Which, that's why I kind of didn't really fit me, so.
Now, is Brian, is Mind Warp a new character, or is he someone that I should know who he is?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I was wondering the same thing. He's the only character in there that I'm not familiar with, so I don't know if he was a Vertigo character or someone from maybe the original Shade series. Of course, that was Vertigo, but.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Flashpoint?
No. I don't, well, at least I don't remember ever seeing him. I even read that Secret Seven series too.
He wasn't part of the Secret Seven.
Okay.
So, and again, he fits fine. I mean, I'm just
No, he does.
I just was curious if we should know who he is, and I guess maybe that's kind of cool that, you know, Milligan's saying, okay, we got all these, you know, known quantities. We got Zatanna, we got Constantine, we got Shade, Deadman, Enchantress. Let's throw somebody new into the mix here. Oh, and Xanadu, of course, Madam Xanadu. Who are, you know, again, they're all B level characters except for maybe Constantine. You know, in terms of not, you know, in terms of broader recognition. But even him, you know, the hell with Keanu Reeves. But maybe he said, you know, we got to put somebody completely, almost completely new, almost a tabula rasa where it can, you know, write him from scratch. So just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Was he a Wildstorm character? Do you know?
I don't know. Quick! Internet!
I was just about to do that.
Mind Warp, DC Comics.
Original character created by Peter Milligan for Flashpoint.
Oh, he was in Secret 7. I don't remember
missed
him.
That. Yeah, it's a Secret 6.
I do not remember him from Secret 7 at all.
So there you go. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it's worth.
Oh, they wouldn't lie.
He had two whole appearances in there. Maybe that's why I didn't remember. Whatever.
Yeah,
anyhow.
I don't remember it.
So, right.
Good deal.
I like the book, and you're right. Why put Justice League on there? Simply to sell the book. And they'll probably at some point, you know, they'll have a big, you know, Justice crossover, and we'll get to see where these guys fit into that schema.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the last page? Little creepy.
Remind me. Apologies.
All the people coming together to make the giant person?
Oh, yeah.
It does sound creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Reminds me, there was There was an episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends where they
all the characters.
Yes,
I remember that. That was cool. That was a good cartoon. Yeah.
Careful, your geek is showing.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Pulled that one out. Wow, Swarm, wow.
I remember that. Well, they kind of did the same thing in the Constantine movie, too.
Yeah, I've forgotten that movie already.
Well, I was on TV the other day, and we watched it again, just for nothing else on. Let's see, where are we? The Savage Hawkman.
What about Legion Secret Origin?
I forgot that. I got it sitting right in front of me, too. Legion Secret Origin. Awesome stuff. Love it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Don't hate me. I'm not reading it.
It's pretty.
It's good.
I'm waiting for the trade, because I think it'll be a beautiful... all one contained story.
Mm-hmm. I think it would read really well as a trade, actually.
Yeah, I'm more than likely will get it, too, so...
I bought issue one so I could get me a ring.
Yeah.
I went back to the LCS later and says, "Hey, boss man, can I have some more rings?" And he says, "How many do you need?"
I did the same thing. My store is exactly – I'm like one of five Legion fans there for some reason, and they've got this bag still at their store. So
huge, yep.
Yeah, I didn't get any at mine at all. Luckily, I had pre-ordered it from DCBS, and they just finally sent me the ring, though, just like last Friday.
Wow. I still have an unopened one here in my computer bag.
Yeah, I bought several. I still haven't gotten to the Legion podcasters yet. I need to send them.
Well, this was a great issue, and honestly, Brian, you will appreciate it once you get a chance to read it. I actually like this book better than I like the regular monthly. And I like the regular monthly a lot, but this is sort of like what they're doing with Justice League.
Yeah,
you know, 5 years later, 5 years ago, kind of stuff.
I agree. I am liking this better than the monthly. I think they did the whole thing with taking the Legion Lost book. I wish they hadn't done that. And the way the tone is, it's maybe that's what I'm having a problem with is the tone. We finally got them back. And then it's like, okay, and you got this tone, and it's, I don't know. Who am I kidding? I'm going to read it, though.
Yeah.
Just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean I don't like it, you know? Does that make any sense?
Sure.
So, anyway.
It's like watching Homeland. But it's...
Reading Firestorm.
I hear that. Yeah, reading Firestorm. Yeah, tell me about it. Okay. That out of the way, Savage Hawkman. Anyone?
Nope. Is that really next alphabetically?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Legion, Secret Origin, you got Lobo Unbound, Roots of the Swamp Thing, and then the Savage Hawkman.
Wow.
Yeah. Weird that way. Okay, moving on then.
Alphabet, wow. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Superman, number four. This one, this is another one along that same vein. I don't exactly understand or like the way they're going, but it's still a good book. I'm a big Perez fan. I haven't read much of his writing, and it's still kind of thick, but
wordy,
yeah, it's wordy. But I like it though. I'm interested to see where it's going. Am I the only one reading this?
Yeah, yes. I've looked at it. I plan to pick it up at some point. I think I would like it.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, my thing is, since they've completely rebooted Superman like they should have done a long time ago, and I like this version of Superman, and that's why I'm reading it. I'm wanting to pick up stuff about his past and whatever, which they're not really showing any at all. And it doesn't seem like even now in this book, he still might be ignorant of some of his beginnings. So,
well, this I think is another leaving that though for
action
for action to reveal. Like,
man, that book is so good too. But yeah, I'm still liking it.
This is another one I think will read really well in a trade.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of different parts to this that are kind of hard to follow. And the next issue is even more so.
Right.
But I still think it's good. And I like this new version of Superman. That's one of the reasons why I'm still reading it.
And I think that that's one of the reasons I don't read this book, is it's Superman, and it should be really straightforward. This should be the most simplistic of the superhero books. And I don't mean simplistic as in dumb or dumbed down. It should just be the most straightforward of all of their titles, and it's not.
Yeah.
Just saying. This is their most recognized character, bar none. I mean, people argue that it's probably Batman, then it may be Batman, but I still say it's Superman. And it should be easier to digest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. With Perez leaving, it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We've only got another month or two, and then they've got the new.
Yeah, I think it's six. So yeah, who's
Giffen and Juergens?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So people will look in on it then, and
yeah. I will. I'll come back. I'll try that number six or seven, whatever one is their first one. And I'm lucky that my LCS allows, you know, I don't have to. I have a pull list, but I don't have to pre-order, you know. So there's, you know, I'm not obligated to keep what's in my bag, and I'm not obligated to just get what's in my bag, you know. And
That's good.
Speaking really quick, little tangent as well.
Okay.
My LCS is actually doing something pretty creative. They're lowering the cost to $1.99 after a month as well on their floppies.
Whoa, oh, brilliant.
That's a great idea.
Yep. After a month, they drop down the price just like the digital.
That is a great idea.
Totally. Because really, those books are just going to sit on the shelf for the most part anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, or they're going to get thrown in the back issue bins or whatever. So, yeah, that's a cool idea.
What's the name of your local store?
It's called End Zone. It's more of a gaming zone or a gaming store that sells comics, but it's the only one around. There's that one, and then there's one called Heebie-Jeebies.
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 That's nice.
You Utahians, what are you going to do?
Oh, but, you know, I actually know... Being on the road like I am, there's a place in Stockton, California I've stopped. There's a place in Tacoma I've stopped. There's a place in
Tacoma. Oh, cool.
Boise that if you want to hear a funny story, go listen to that episode of the Legion podcast.
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, that was bad. Funny. But yeah, I've been in LCSs wrong. All over the West.
Let's see. This is a little sidebar. That same week, the DC Comics Presents Elseworlds 80-page Giant number 1 came out. I don't know if you remember that had the controversial Super Baby in the microwave thing. But they destroyed all the copies and they went ahead and reprinted that. I got that on my birthday. Wow, that was a disappointment. I mean, wow.
And for those of us who are Legion fans, Levitz is the one who ordered that pulped. So,
the whole baby super baby thing. That I didn't think it was a big deal, but it just wasn't all that good. The stories weren't all that good. The best thing in there was Kid Darkseid trying out for the Legion, and that was just like one page thing. But those stories in there were really not that good. I didn't really care for it. But anyway, moving on. Teen Titans number 4.
I'm still getting it.
It's a good book. It is a good book. Still having trouble getting around the previous incarnations, especially Red Robin. I just really loved what they did with Tim Drake there towards the end. But I'm still liking this book. It's really cool. I like the Bunker character. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Got some fun moments, and it's setting stuff up that'll pay off later on, whether it'll just pay off as like little character bits like friendships that grow up or whether they're laying seeds for story. It's not bad at all,
and the art is great.
I love Brett Booth. I've been a fan of his since his early Image stuff.
Yeah, it is good art. That is for sure.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I yeah, it's my teen hero fix right now. And
yeah,
I mean, Wonder Girl is still a, I don't know.
That character I don't like what they did with it, but yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Cassie has never ever done anything for me, and she's not, still not. But maybe she will. I mean, who knows? Maybe.
At what point, again, speaking to Cassie, and I only bring this up because I happen to spot an issue at my local comic book store of the Burn Wonder Woman when she was first introduced. And she was this geeky, somewhat, you know, over, you know, not shapely character with black, you know, with just mm-hmm. not very cool looking. When did she get hot?
When she hit puberty.
Okay.
when she was when Burn first introduced her, wasn't she like 13?
Yeah, she wasn't just a kid. And she was,
yeah,
because
when she started out on Young Justice, she was still kind of that way. But okay. You know, now I take it she's probably 17.
As soon as she got put in Teen Titans with Jeff Johns, she became. Yeah.
And she was given powers too, wasn't she?
She got this Wonder Woman, so. I'm just curious. It just seemed like a whoa.
That's my phone.
Come in.
Someone just got beamed aboard. This has a couple of like shades of Young Justice too. Like at the very end of when, like the very back page, mm-hmm. And Bart comes in and he's got new clothes on, and you can see that it's an old Robin costume. He says, "Bart, is that my?" Yeah. Oh please! It was at the back of your closet.
Yeah.
So there's just little things like that that harken back to the old the Young Justice, really just fun time with the team. You know, with that team. So I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like a theme that we have going on here is the books that we're enjoying the most are the ones with the good character moments, and there's quite a few sprinkled into this when they're sitting around the house.
Yep.
Yeah, so I agree. Yeah. I really like that.
And there's some great ones in number five, which are part of the action, but we can talk about that some other time. So.
Yeah.
Haven't read five yet.
Yeah, there's some character growth in that too.
Yes. And it's good to see they're a team now. Like it they've done their building and now they're clunk. They're together.
Yep.
Go off adventuring.
Yep. It is good stuff. I do like it. And I like the overlaying theme that they're doing with it too, the time together. It's well done. So.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least,
Voodoo number four. I'm not reading that.
I'm not either. I stopped.
What?
I stopped. Yeah, I didn't think I'd miss it, and it turns out I don't.
Murray, how about you?
I'm reading it, but I can see that it's the story that I was hoping I would get issue one and issue two. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that's what I'm gonna get. So.
And Mars is off the book sometime, isn't he? Or has that happened already?
With issue five, he's off. Yeah.
Okay. So the it's probably not a good chance you're gonna get it after that, then, huh?
Well,
hey, you know,
I don't know. We'll see. It's on the I like the
you want to like it, but
I do want to like it, and I like the idea of the FBI chasing her, and I like the idea of her being on the run. And in the background of all that, there's this alien invasion stuff mm-hmm. that hasn't really been developed, and I like. The opening blurb, like they give a blurb for each of their heroes, and they say here, she's been sent on a mission to gather information on Earth's heroes. And I'm not sure before issue four we really knew that. I'm trying to, like, I was trying to think issue two, issue three, did we see any of that? I guess we sort of kind of did.
Yeah.
But it was never really spelled out, and now here it is spelled out in the meet the character introduction thing. So I feel like part of the story hasn't, or is being told, or isn't being told. I don't know. It's. I'm going to keep looking in on it, but.
Sounds confusing.
It's not that it's confusing. It's just that it's not really moving forward yet.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they don't have it part of that whole Stormwatch, Grifter, Superman, Daemonites thing.
Well, as of issue 5, it kind of, you can see where the connections are going to happen with Grifter for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in issue 4, one of the characters that pops up at the very end has appeared in Grifter.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sense that the blonde guy with the big gun has been a part of Grifter. You don't really get that sense until you read 5, but I can see how they're pulling the strings and pulling them together, but I also get the sense that it might not be all that long before the book is wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can see if they do another 6 issue, another 6 books that get axed, that this one is probably on the short list at the moment.
Oh yeah, I would imagine Grifter would be one of them too.
Is Sammy Badgery still doing the art for that?
Yes.
Oh, see, that'd be one of the few reasons that would get me.
I know, it's beautiful art.
Oh.
Beautiful art.
Well,
there we go. That's the new 52.
We have covered it all, I believe. Man.
You are wordy bitches.
Yes.
We were just going to sit around and watch pre-Super Bowl stuff all day.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah. Right after the national basket weaving tournament.
In about 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Yes, I am be doing my court-mandated social interaction at a Super Bowl party today, so.
I am. If you saw me on Facebook, I am attending a Super Bowl party of one today.
Oh, well, you're welcome to ours too. So
I'll take pictures. Started driving now.
Hey, I'm just down in Phoenix, so you know.
Yeah.
So you're probably the closest to where I'm at. At least you're in the same time zone.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, wait a minute. No. If you're in mountain time zone, yes. If you're not, then no.
No, because you're – oh, that's right. You are mountain time right now, huh?
Yeah. We are mountain time right now. Yes, yeah. We are.
That's right.
The whole Arizona being, you know.
My head is hurting.
There wasn't supposed to be any math.
So are we in – we actually are in 4 different time zones, aren't we?
Technically, yes.
There's no technically about it. It's
wibbly wobbly, and they think they have the wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, it's that's why sometimes it's hard to get these episodes together. So
where'd the 4th time zone come from? I just barely got it in my head that there's 3.
Well, that's when daylight savings time changes, then Caleb will be in his own time zone in Arizona. See.
I'm in my own space-time continuum.
Exactly, exactly. When, he is when daylight in the savings time's on,
he's in Pacific time.
Yes, exactly.
So right now he's in Mountain. I'm in Pacific. Murray, you're in Eastern, right?
Yeah.
He is. Murray. I'm in Central.
3 time zone.
Yep, 4 time zones.
Wow.
The time zone I'm in is the right one. That's all I know.
Yeah. It's a time zone cast.
That's right. We're still waiting for the Murray time zone to be ratified, aren't we? Murray time.
Give it time. Once I'm prime minister, you just wait.
29 minutes behind everyone else.
There you go. Well, I think we've talked it out, so.
All right.
See you all next week.
Yes. See you next week. My lunch is coming, so I'm getting hungry.
Hey, thanks everyone.
Yes, thanks Brian for joining us once again. It was great to have you on.
Pleasure anytime.
Where can people talk to us at?
Oh, yes, you can always send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com. We at least have one person that emails us on a frequent basis, and the best place is the Facebook page, talesfromthelawnbox.com podcast. You can do a little thing in the searchy box. And there I go stealing stuff from Paul again. Anyway, you can look for us there. We have forums. Had one other person sign up. I actually posted on it the other day. Anyway, that's about it. With Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. I post things there too. At TFT Longbox is the Twitter feed. Peter Rios just started following us this morning. Ooh. As a matter of fact. Peter Rios. Exactly. Some of you know who that is, and some of you don't. But anyway.
And some people don't want to know, and they can just suck it.
Yeah. But anyway, hopefully, that's what we're doing. Things will turn out good. My comic's coming soon. I got all the art's done. I think it's maybe at the printers now. When I know more, we'll let you know. Anyway,
yay.
That's about it. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks,
Brian, for joining us.
And we're out.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man, for coming along.
Hey, anytime. That was fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we don't usually go that long, I swear to God.
We've only done it a couple of times.
That's okay. I'm wordy.
Yeah.
I'm a Chris Claremont written person.
Oh, okay.
So we have no idea what happened. You have these moments of time that we never got follow-up on. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. See, that's the difference between him and Levitz. They both play the long ball, but Levitz actually comes back to them.
He catches them.
That's funny.
I gotta go, guys, but we'll catch up next week, yeah?
Yeah, next
Sounds
week.
Good.
Yeah, my brain's completely mush. I can't think anymore.
All right.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.